This is episode 397, dated Monday, June 30th, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Glad to be with you today. This is episode 397, dated Monday, June 30th, 2025. We're almost halfway through the year already. It doesn't seem possible, but here we are. Before we continue, let me introduce a couple of our panel members that I know of that are here, and others will join us later, I'm assuming. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz.
Warm and sunny Pasadena. It's 86, and it's going to cool down just in time for us to head to Dallas, where it's even warmer and more humid, as I understand it. But things are well here.
We are about 80, 85 today for the most part. Nice sunny day. I think the humidity is going to return this week from what I've been told. We'll see what happens. Reverend Michael Garrett.
Yes, and welcome from a 90-degree, muggy Missouri City, Texas, right outside of Houston, where we've had rain showers all weekend, thunderstorms, and lots of rain.
I have yet to hear from either Don Wardlow, Peter Altschul, or Luther King, but I'm sure that if they arrive, they will let
us know. I'm here, Bob.
Oh, hi, Don. Welcome, Don. How's the weather where you're at?
All right. A little hotter than what you got, but I was listening patiently to the guy's talking about Dallas, because the Kennedy assassination is a subject of great interest to me in how the media handled it. It's not a subject for this podcast, though.
So let me thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. Hello, Peter. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
I'll let you talk. For the first time in months. It's great to be here.
How's the weather up in Coos Bay?
It's beautiful. It's 65 and a breeze and the sun's out, and we have this weather essentially from now until like October.
All right.
It might get to 72.
Sounds beautiful. Send it this way. Anyway, let me thank Raymond Gay, our producer, for helping us out when he's in the can. He does a good job. Also, our media sources, thank you for airing us when you do. It's much appreciated. And of course, Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions. Thank you for archiving.
Number are being screened by Smart Call Blocker.
Thank you to Jacqueline Sylvia. Thank you very much for archiving our shows on my website. In order for you to find them, go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down till you get to Sports Roundtable Podcast. Click on them, and you will see most, if not all, of our archive programs from latest to earliest.
Merci, Jackie.
I want to say hi to Brad, who is our facilitator for today's program. Thank you, Brad, for helping us out, of course. And as well, Herbie, who is our streamer. Thank you very much for your help as well. And because we are being streamed on ACB Media 5, let me give out my email address for those people who wish to write us letters, because we always appreciate what the fans say about our show and about sports in general. It's bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's BOBBRANCO 93@gmail.com. Mitch, you were expressing some sort of a concern or a rant, I believe, before we started the program, talking about a couple of things. I'll let you speak first about that.
I'll start with LeBron, who I'm the outlier. I have never been a big LeBron fan, at least with his time with the Lakers. You know, my guys were Magic, and going way back, Jerry West and Elgin Baylor. I mean, there's no denying LeBron is a great player. But, you know, he just re-signed with the Lakers for another year, and he was earning $52.5 million. And instead of voluntarily saying, you know, tear up the contract, write me a contract for, I don't know, $30 million. He basically said, no, I'm going to take the same $52.5 million. And what that means is that the Lakers will be much more limited in terms of their ability to sign free agents. I wouldn't make $52 million in 10 lifetimes, maybe 20 lifetimes. And for him to do that, and what I posted to Bob earlier was, well, I guess he doesn't want too much competition for Bronny. Bronny's problem is, at least in my view, and you know, he didn't have much of a chance at USC because of his heart thing. But even in the D League or G League or Q League or whatever the heck they call it, he wasn't particularly outstanding. And so what I indicated to Bob was, you know, LeBron doesn't want any competition for his son. But then again, it's an issue of talent, and I don't think Bronny has that much talent to be a star in the league. So I was a little miffed at LeBron for his unwillingness to give the Lakers a little salary flexibility. And my other rant after Bob made a comment about all the Boston players who are injured, the Red Sox pit players who are injured, as I said, this is the first time all year, we're halfway through the season, the Dodgers don't have anyone on the 15-day disabled or injured list, but we still have 11 pitchers on the 60-day injured list, and that includes arguably our top three starters, Snell, Glasnow, and Sasaki. And while Snell and particularly Glasnow has actually pitched a couple of games at Oklahoma City, he hasn't looked all that good. So who knows when the three are coming back. And now the Dodgers are talking about Sandy Alcantara, or Alcantara as they pronounce it. And what I indicated to Bob is, and how soon after they sign him will he get a sore arm or a bad shoulder or an oblique? You know, the old line about everything someone Midas touch turned to gold. Every pitcher the Dodgers sign turns to someone on the IL. End of rants for the time being.
So I want to comment on both of those, especially since we've got a meeting this weekend, 3-game series. But anyway,
yes, sir.
Let me start with LeBron. I you know, theoretically, I understand where you're coming from, but most athletes these days, including superstars, especially superstars, very seldom take a pay cut. It's been my rant that I think that quarterbacks and receivers ought to take, you know, pay cuts or extended contracts. But most of these guys, these super athletes, they want to get it while they can. And so LeBron's couldn't see LeBron taking a pay cut. Bronny is gone when LeBron goes. I think the Laker management really, like, you don't see the talent. So he's gone. I really believe that. As far as the Dodgers, I don't have much sympathy for you. And
I know you don't.
And you don't have much for me.
No.
Because the Dodgers have the best record in baseball, don't they?
Yeah, we're out hitting everybody. That's how we're doing it.
And the Astros are in similar position because two of our frontline players are out. And we have four starters in Florida. And Alvarez is going to Florida to do some hitting off of those guys. And they're on the 60-day list. They're coming back from Tommy John surgery. So the team, both teams are doing pretty well without some frontline players. So we probably don't have much sympathy for each other. So
inside baseball, we have to get together and listen to at least one of those games this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Michael, I just wanted to mention that Dodgers and Tigers have the same record, 53-32.
53. Okay. All right.
So they're both tied for the best record.
Yep. The Astros have 50 wins, which I would never have believed they could achieve it, especially with all the injuries to players. But we have a 3-game series with the Dodgers this weekend.
Oh, that might be the World Series preview. If Detroit doesn't
I don't
make
know.
It.
I don't know who's good enough in the American League right now. It doesn't seem to be a great team in the AL.
Detroit.
Maybe.
Detroit looks good.
But the Dodgers took them 3-for-3 early in the season, and I know they're much better, but I just heard that they may move Flaherty to the bullpen because he's not doing well.
I'll tell you, what do you think, guys, Major League Baseball can do right now to step in and say, hey, something's going on with injuries. This is out of control. It's the most that's ever happened in baseball, and I'll take that to my grave. That we've never seen this many injuries in this sport.
I don't think there's anything.
I think the answer is nothing,
Bob.
Yeah. Can I go back to LeBron for a second before?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah. So, Mitch, just a quick question. Sometimes what these athletes do is they restructure. So they might have $52 million over a 10-year period or something. Is there anything like that in this contract that you're aware of?
I think this is a 1-year contract. The salaries that are paid, you know, superstars in the NBA are outrageous and make football players' salaries look like, you know, under the couch cushion stuff.
The only thing I would say, I know, Mitch, you and I don't fully agree on this. We live in a capitalist society. We pride ourselves on that, especially now these days. And I don't see how we can, you know, blame the athletes for taking as much money as they can get. You know, certainly owners get as much money as they can get. You know, look at what's going on with Musk, for example. He's getting as much money as he can get. Cutting corners, perhaps, maybe, maybe not. You know, I think all these owners fall in the same basic category. And while it would be nice if LeBron would be a little more respectful of building a team around him and all that, I think that would be terrific. That's why I asked if he were going to restructure his contract somehow, you know, over a period of time. Because I don't see how he can say, I want to be on a winning team and then do what he's doing. I that doesn't make sense to me. But
maybe this is a conversation for In Perspective, Bob and Peter. But the reality is, I'm a capitalist too, okay? I tend to be conservative politically these days. There's to me a fine line between good capitalism and greed. And if you truly, if it's important to you to win another title before you dribble off into the sunset, then you might say, you know, how much do you really need? You probably have $1 billion in the bank. LeBron's probably a billionaire by now. You really need $50 million? Couldn't you have settled for $30 million to give the team in what is likely your last year in the NBA a chance to give you another ring? That's where I'm coming from.
No, Mitch, my only comment is, Mitch, LeBron is learning from the ownership. I mean, do these folks take budget cuts when they're doing their thing? You know, I think LeBron has a dream of buying his own basketball team, as I've heard. You know, if that's the case, then every you know, $1 million helps. I sympathize with where you're coming from. I just think we need to be careful because whenever we have these conversations, we always seem to be, you know, blaming the players for taking too much money when the owners play the same games as the players do, maybe more successfully. So
there's a lot of greed to go around. That's all.
Yes, there is.
And the other thing is, Peter, you said to build a team around him. I don't think he's the centerpiece of the team anymore. I think
that's true. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. But you know, I get your point. I mean, he's sending mixed messages at the very least. You know, I want to win a championship, but I'm not willing to give any of my money up so that I can, you know, get some good players around me that gives me a chance to do that. Yeah. My sense with LeBron, and I could be wrong, I don't know LeBron very well, is his primary goal is to do big things once he gets out of basketball. And one of the rumors I keep hearing is he wants to buy a team or he wants to be part of it. You know, and if you want to buy a team, you got to have lots and lots of money. So
Mitch, what you said about capitalism and greed and the thin line between the two, you couldn't be more correct. I have a friend who argues whenever I tell my friend that to me, players are getting too greedy and wanting all these millions of dollars for whatever reason. My friend will argue that, well, the owners make it. Why can't they pay the players? And well, he's comparing it with regular companies where a boss makes so much money. Why don't he give his employees the rightful share? It's all, he thinks it's all relative.
Let me cite, and I'm not disagreeing about owners, but let me cite Mark Walter and the Guggenheim Group. They apparently are multi-billion heirs. They may even be more than that. And that's one rich owner and ownership group that is willing to spend money. And we need more owners who are willing to share the wealth if they're going to purchase sports franchises. There's been a lot of flack directed at the Pirates ownership because they're still trying to do it on the cheap. And the fans are getting a little restless over their I think the academic word is penuriousness.
That means
I gotta look that one up.
That means cheap.
it means penny pitching is what it means.
Yeah.
Some people can say the same thing right now about John Henry of the Red Sox. He just let Devers go. He saved the team $300 million and he won't sign anybody, or he won't allow his front office to sign anybody. Right now, at least it seems that way.
So, Mitch, do you think the Lakers are interested in DeAndre Ayton? They need a
well,
center.
Mark Williams got traded just before the draft. DeAndre Ayton was a whole lot better college basketball player when he was with Arizona, and I saw three or four of his games against USC. But he's been kind of a disappointment. But I think at this point, the Lakers are going to have to go out and get somebody, and it may be him.
I just don't see if the Lakers can compete. I mean, yes, they need a center. But
Celtics could use Ayton. The Celtics desperately could use Ayton right now. They got rid of Porzingis. Horford's a free agent. The center that they got back, Niang, he's only a backup guy. They've got no starting center.
I think the Celtics are planning a year off. Personally, I don't think they're serious about doing much this year. They're waiting for Tatum to come back, and then they'll, you know, take life a little more seriously. That's the way I view the Celtics.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll still make the playoffs, I think. And therefore, taking a year off isn't going to help them make the lottery because they still have enough talent.
But they're trying to cut salary, I think is the issue. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But they make the playoffs, and they might even get through a round or two of the playoffs. They might make win the first round ring. The thing is, who else is good in the NBA East these days, right? I mean, the Pacers lost Halliburton for a while. You know, I mean, who is good? Who is the team to shoot for in the East?
Well, watch Orlando.
Maybe Orlando.
Cleveland, Orlando, New York.
I don't take New York seriously. They don't have a, speaking of incompetence, where's the New York Knicks new head coach? When is that going to come? I mean, you know.
They're talking to people from what I hear.
Yeah. Nobody wants to coach for them. That's not fair. None of the people who they want to talk to, the owners won't allow them to interview, but it's not at all clear to me why anybody would want to coach that team with such an inept owner, but that's another conversation.
Well, you know, James Dolan, I'm sorry, Michael, to do this to you, but Jerry Jones is the James Dolan of the NFL.
I think NBA.
Or of the NBA. I mean, well, NFL and Dolan in the NBA.
Saying.
Why would anybody want to coach for the Cowboys, except that the guy that they've got as a coach now apparently thinks it's the only coaching opportunity he'll get again.
They've made a lot of
moves, you know. So we'll see if it works out.
And speaking
he's
of Dallas,
a different culture. Yeah, he's creating a culture.
Speaking of Dallas, what about the Mavericks? I know they may not be quite ready for prime time, but they look awfully good.
They're injury prone.
That's right.
Everybody they have, even Black, he's coming with a back injury.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
So it'll be interesting to see what
who can play for the whole season?
Yeah. But I mean, if they can play reasonably healthy, especially toward the end of the year, they might be a dangerous team.
They could be,
but you're right. I mean, the whole Texas thing, San Antonio and Houston and who am I forgetting? Dallas. I think all have great potential next year. Of course, Oklahoma does too.
It's going to be interesting.
I think Houston's ahead of the other two.
I was not, you know, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love the guy, but Durant, because he went to UT, okay? But I was not happy with this trade because we've got a young team, a young nucleus, and I wanted to see them develop. This doesn't backfire on them.
How do you do that though, Michael? I mean, you have, if you want to let the team develop, you can't get Durant. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Right. I hope Jalen Green doesn't come back to bite us.
Well, that's certainly.
I don't think you have to worry about Phoenix. I don't think much of their coach or their management, and they still have Bradley. I'm injured every other game. Beal playing for.
They're trying to get rid of him, from what I
hear. Yeah, if they can.
Yeah, nobody wants.
Why would anybody?
Bradley Beal would fit in well if he played baseball for the Dodgers.
He might fit in well with the Yankees, maybe, or the.
So I'm hearing that there may be a baseball strike in 27. What do you guys think about that possibility? Or is it too soon to talk about it?
Bob, I've been predicting it since you first had me join this program, this podcast. I'm telling you that the CBA comes due at the end of 26. I think there's going to be a strike in 27. I've been saying it now for however long I've been part of this.
Mitch. They had a strike in 21 and 22. They reached agreement, and now they might strike again. Well, they can't keep their agreement straight. They got to strike again? That's crazy.
It's not a question of keeping the agreement straight. Is conditions change? The players and owners have never gotten along and so they don't deal with conflict very well. And so when, the chance of them striking is higher than other sports, I think. Maybe football might be equally high, just because they don't get along in general principle. So when they have to get along, they have a hard time doing it.
The baseball players, the MLB Players Association, has had an adversarial relationship with baseball ownership all the way back to Marvin Miller's days.
Yep.
And that's why I think it's such a travesty that snake in the grass was put into the Hall of Fame.
What snake in the grass are you referring to?
Marvin Miller.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Biggest snake in the grass that the baseball ever got involved with. And he's the cause of most of the ruin that baseball is facing now.
So Don, I think I get where you're going, but Marvin Miller, to his credit, the players were woefully underpaid when he came on board, and he changed the way, he got capitalism into baseball, essentially, free agency and all of that. Maybe he went too far, maybe he didn't, but I think Marvin Miller deserves some cred for what he did.
Yeah, but Peter, unlike the NBA and the NFL, and at one time the NFL Players Association had a difficult relationship with the owners, but those two players associations, the two owners groups realized that the way to make the most money is to work collaboratively, and they still haven't gotten that message in baseball.
No, I think that's fair, but it's not just the players that's caused this problem.
Of course not.
And that's why I think Marvin Miller has gotten sort of a bad rap. I understand that he's controversial and, he's the Pete Rose syndrome. He's a jerk. And when you're a jerk, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. But, I don't think it's totally his doing, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Without him, the players were more like us. They were regular people. They didn't live in gated communities. And I mean, the things you hear about the Bud Harrelsons, you know, the old days and the Phil Rizzutos and the Yogi Berras, you're never going to hear about Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani because they're not like us. They're on a different planet than what we are. And that never happens if they don't get this power that the union has, which is just an obscene amount of power.
You know, Don, I got to tell you, because you just reminded me of one of the neatest sports experiences I ever had in my life. And that was at an American Council of the Blind convention when it was in L.A. in 97, 98. And we had a sports fanatics luncheon, and the fellow who was running it at the time said, and the keynote was Maury Wills.
Ah, oh, what a gentleman. Yes.
He asked me, Bob asked me to sit at the head table, and I spent an hour sitting next to Maury, and when there weren't things going on and he wasn't speaking, we just talked. We just talked for an hour. He was a true down-to-earth gentleman, and I will always remember spending an hour with Maury Wills for the rest of my life.
There's a lot of wonderful people I talk to in baseball, and Maury is right around the top of the heap. I know he had difficulties, particularly around the 70s, but when I talked to him, it was 1997 or 8. He was working in Fargo. He was broadcasting. He was color commentary for Fargo with a guy named Jack on play by play. And Maury, he could have done a lot more than an hour if you guys had the time. He would have gone on until you told him to stop.
Wonderful, wonderful man.
Yes.
Yeah, it was 1999.
Was it 99, Michael?
Okay. 99. Yes.
The thing that has resounded with me through the years is he lived down in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
And he lived there, and he did his thing, and he said to me, we had no idea there was such a team as the Washington Senators, because Washington was so strictly segregated in the years of his boyhood, in the 1930s and 40s, before Jackie Robinson broke the color line.
Yeah, it was just such a neat experience for me just to sit and talk to him.
Not quite the same story, but a funny experience talking about meeting sports people. I was at a dinner honoring a disability rights organization, and the person who they invited to be the keynote speaker, they invited Bob Costas, who I did meet, but they also invited Joe Morgan. And he was, just sort of hanging around, and I was hanging around with a drink in my hand. And he's up to me and says, hi. And I said, hi. He goes, how are you? I said, fine. And I finally said, who are you? And he said, I'm Joe Morgan. And I thought it was just he didn't handle the blind thing very well, but I thought it was really cool that he came up and just said hi. He just wandered around the room and was saying hi to people, which I thought was really kind.
Is this Joe Morgan, the Cincinnati Red, or yes, Joe Morgan, the manager?
No, Joe Morgan, the player.
Okay. Michael and I both knew a gentleman who, Richard, grew up in Texas and then came to L.A. And Richard was, Joe Morgan was briefly Richard's brother-in-law. I don't think the marriage lasted more than a few years, but I think Richard met him only a couple of different times, but he was part of our friend's family for a time before back. In fact, it was during his playing days.
And
he started in Houston, guys.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Joe Morgan and Sonny Jackson and Jimmy Wynn.
In fact, Joe Morgan, when he's in Houston, the broadcasters then were Lowell Pass, Gene Elston, and an extremely young Harry Callis. And they called Joe Morgan, future Hall of Famer, future scourge of the National League because of the way he could hit. They called him Little Joey Morgan up at home plate. Can you imagine Little Joey Morgan, before he was the Hall of Famer?
I don't know what his lifetime batting average against the Dodgers was, but if it was over 400, I wouldn't be surprised. He used to kill it.
He used to kill it. And Jimmy Wynn, oh my goodness.
And Troy Cannon.
Right up the middle.
Yep. I love Jimmy
Morgan,
Wynn.
Sonny Jackson and Jimmy Wynn.
I love Jimmy when he came to the Dodgers for the last couple of years of his career.
Yeah.
I have Harry Callis calling a home run of his saying he put it into orbit. Very
nice. He moved back here and was living. He's living out in Pearland, which is another suburb the road from us.
Before we ask our participants to come into our program, did you hear about the blockbuster trade the Dolphins made today?
No.
No.
They traded one of their quarterbacks.
Oh. Who?
What's his name? Daniels? Trying to think. But they did trade the quarterback.
The backup?
Yeah, I believe he's the backup, and they the Steelers. That's right. He went to the Steelers. It was a Steelers Dolphins trade.
Oh. Ah.
No, I'll have to pull up
my fantasy
football rosters and see who, because the only Daniels I know of is Chase.
Yeah, Missouri.
I got to take a look and see who that is.
It wouldn't be Jaden.
I'll know in a minute.
The news just broke before the show started, and I was busy. I was only paying attention.
Whoever this quarterback was, if he was traded to Pittsburgh, I wonder what that thought about Aaron Rodgers, who I don't know why Pittsburgh signed Aaron Rodgers. I still don't understand it. I don't know why anybody would sign Aaron Rodgers for any reason ever these days.
It's called desperation.
I don't either. I agree with you, Peter.
Well, desperation.
They could do better than Aaron Rodgers. I understand that's desperation, but the guy is a team wrecker from everything I've heard and everything I've seen. And, you know, the guy isn't very good.
The story was that what was a selling point for him was DK Metcalf.
Ah. But the question still holds. Why would that coach, who's now drawing a blank on right now, the
Mike
Steelers
Tomlin.
Coach, why would he bring him on board? I mean, is he that desperate?
I
guess, but.
I have a hard time understanding Tomlin, you know.
Tomlin, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Understanding that move.
I don't show a quarterback on the Dolphins by the name of Daniels. I have four quarterbacks here, including your Texas guy, Michael Quentin Ewers, but I don't show a Daniels.
It wasn't him. What were the other three? It'll come to me. The other three besides that, Jet.
Besides Tua, they have Zach Wilson.
That's
and
not him.
Quentin Ewers.
Yep.
And an undrafted guy, Blaine Gabbert's kid brother.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I'll have to look. Yeah, I'll have to look more into that trade. I'll email you guys if I see something.
It's not Zach Wilson. It would be hilarious if it was Zach Wilson of the former guest.
It would be.
Now, that would be very funny.
It would be, especially to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that would – and we'd be funnier if Wilson beat out Rodgers for the job. That'd even be funnier and justify as far as I'm concerned. I mean, not that I'm a Zach Wilson fan. He was terrible. But I don't get this whole Aaron Rodgers thing. I don't get why the Jets got him.
And how old is he now? 42?
Yeah, 42 or 41, something like that. But it's not the age that bothers me so much. Because, you know, there are quarterbacks who play to that age. It's his sort of poor team's leadership and his lack, you know, he just says not as good as he was 2 or 3 years ago.
And the only way he will play 12 or 14 games this season is if the Steelers have the best offensive line in the NFL.
And I'm not sure they qualify for the best offensive line in the NFL.
He can't escape like he used to, I don't think.
Right.
Hey, there are probably a couple of us on this call who could outrun him.
So let's turn it over to our participants. You're listening to Sports Round. And we can get some questions from our audience. So, Brad, do we have any hands raised at this time?
We do.
Oh, good.
Our friend Troy has his hand up. And
Troy,
go ahead.
Hello, Troy. What's going on?
Well, gentlemen, I had to look up the trade myself that you just mentioned, the Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers trade. And it looks like Miami traded their cornerback, Jalen Ramsey.
Oh. Quarterback, cornerback. Sometimes these talk show hosts talk so fast. Go ahead, Troy.
It was a cornerback. And then the other player that Miami traded was a tight end by the last name of Smith. And
Johnny Smith.
Oh, that I got.
My computer said that Jonu Smith or something. I don't know.
Maybe okay.
It's J-A-N-U, so it's
the Patriots had him once. The Patriots had him once.
And the other team got somebody named Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
but that's the safety. That's who Pittsburgh traded to Miami. So, I mean, there were a couple of draft picks involved too, from the 2027. So, yeah, just wanted to,
this number are being.
Yep. So, but what I really wanted to mention here, the Minnesota Twins, we have just wrapped up the month of June. We have an off day today. So, but this month, guys, we had 2-3 game winning streaks and we won 3 other games. How does 9-18 sound for the month of June, guys?
Terrible. And I thought the Red Sox were bad in June for the most part, except for that little winning streak. But you're right. You're right, Troy. You know, Minnesota was right in the thick of it at the beginning. Now they're slipping like big time.
No.
And the icing on the cake was what Tarik Skubal did to him last night. A Greg Maddux, one hit, 13 strikeouts.
Through 7 innings, Twins only got 2 hits off of the Tigers pitching last night. But what I actually wanted to really point out, the Twins have had 53 games in their 65 years that they have been in Minnesota. 53 games where they have allowed 16 or more runs. Guess how many of those happened this past month?
3-4
Well, your first guess was right. 3
How do you like that?
Yeah, and 2 of those games were against the Rangers. I mean, if this is any indication how bad June was, I think that's one of the key things to look at.
They don't do much hitting, the Rangers. So for them to get 2 16-run outputs, that's pretty amazing.
Yep. And then the Twins allowed 17 runs and I can't remember for the life of me who that was. That was like maybe a couple weeks ago too, but. I think it was Milwaukee.
A feel for Chris Atterbury up in the booth for those games, man. That's a friend of mine. His team's taking a severe beating.
Well, so
what's
yes.
going on with their pitching, Troy?
Well, I will say this. Pablo Lopez is injured. He has the same injury that Joe Ryan had last year.
Other injury.
It's the teres major muscle in the right shoulder, which is above the lat muscle, I believe. Same injury for Pablo Lopez. And then the youngster, Zebby Matthews, he has like a shoulder strain, and so he's not pitching now. And so it's kind of like, and here's the other thing. Bailey Ober has not been doing very well either.
About David Festa?
Festa, he pitched okay the last time he's out, but I don't know if he's definitely to be counted on. I really think the only pitchers you can count on right now to give us anything, for sure Joel Ryan, Chris Paddock, for the most part, and we're having some audience where Simeon Woods Richardson can give you something, but.
And closer. Your closer is one of the top 3 in the league as far as I'm concerned.
I might have to kind of dispute that, but actually were a couple games where Duran, especially in that Houston series way back of early in the month, he lost the game for the Twins. Twins had the lead, especially in one game. And whoever's talking, it's been breaking up, so I'll talk. Twins had to lead against Houston one game, And I think they had to weed off, they walked the weed off a batter for Houston bombing ninth inning and lost that game. And I think that the other game I'm thinking of, it was a tie that we had in the extra innings.
And by the way, Scooble just got his 10th win then. He's 10-2, I believe.
That might be true. They were talking about how he's won 10 straight games. He was okay to, well, I mean, he pitched okay to start the season, but he lost those, I think, his first two starts. But, yeah, so, but.
I just heard yesterday during the Dodgers-Kansas City game that outside of Detroit, all the other four clubs in the Central are below 500. And before the season started, everybody thought that might be one of the toughest divisions. Everybody thought that Cleveland and Minnesota and Kansas City had a shot at the playoffs. And
well, at one time, they were all in the wild card chase. At one time, they were all above 500, you know?
Yeah, well, they're all under 500. Four of the five are under 500.
Well, the White Sox are way under 500. But yeah, the other three teams, Twins, Kansas City Royals, and Cleveland Guardians, you know, they were all up in the thick of things about a month ago. And now, look where we're at now.
So, now your wild cards are Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Seattle.
Well, we still got almost half a season left to go. So we'll see what happens. You know, I don't know if I would have personally picked the three wild cards to be the three wild cards being from all from the same division, but you just don't know what you're going to get.
Well, frankly, I thought there was an upside to Kansas City. That was the most disappointing, I think, of that whole group right now. I mean, I really thought Kansas City was really headed somewhere. And they started out that way, but
the Dodgers just finished playing them. And again, the Dodgers have to out hit everybody. And they did, except in the 9-5 game. But Kansas City's got some good young players. Jonathan India and Bobby Witt tried to single-handedly beat the Dodgers, but they've got some good young players. So, you know, but I think a lot of us thought they'd be a lot better this year, but their pitching, their bullpen isn't very good. The three starters who started against us, including a guy I never heard of yesterday, Chris Buvich, they've got some pretty decent starting pitching. It's their bullpen that leaves a lot to be desired at this point in the season, apparently.
Well, as I said before, you know, we still have a ways to go yet in the season, and you never know. Some of these teams might turn around, but they better turn around quick, you know.
And Mitch, you mentioned Jonathan India. Kansas City converted him from a second baseman to a left fielder.
And why would they?
He was playing second base this weekend.
Oh, Massey wasn't playing?
No. No, he was back at second this weekend.
Oh, okay. Well,
my more basic question is, I've always liked him. Why in the world did the Reds get rid of him?
I forgot the reason why, but I guess.
Oh, they got Brady Singer back. He was a good pitcher for Kansas City. I hope he helps the Reds.
Well, yeah, I think the Reds got rid of him to make room for Matt McClain to be a
I agree with you, Troy.
And Matt McClain was one of their, what was it? He was one of their big catching prospects at one point down at AAA Louisville, because I think he came out of UCLA. So I think they were trying to figure out a way to get him up and keep him up. So
I thought Gavin Lux was playing second for the Reds.
I think they have been playing between second and DH, because I remember when he was in the Cardinals series, I think he was DHing. I think they may have had him as their DH in all three games, I think.
I don't think he's been the Reds since that injury he had.
No, he's not.
All I can say to the Reds is good luck.
They're playing the Sox this week, so we'll see what happens.
They should get right against the White Sox. I mean,
the way the
does.
Sox are playing, the Reds will do okay this week.
They should.
The Dodgers get the White Sox beginning tomorrow. And Kershaw on Wednesday needs only three more strikeouts to hit the 3,000 mark. He should have that for the second inning.
He might get that in the first if he strikes out the first.
He might get it the first.
Anything else, Troy?
The Minnesota Timberwolves, they have signed Julius Randle to a three-year, $100 million contract.
Good move.
Oh, I don't know about that move.
You're not.
I just don't know on Julius Randle. I ever since he was at Kentucky, that's been it.
I think he's a pretty solid player. He played well against the Knicks. He got injured.
That's been his biggest problem, Pete.
Right. He stayed healthy. He's played well for the Knicks. He played well for the Wolves too, I think, when he played.
He played well for the Lakers.
The Lakers drafted him.
Yes, they did.
But he didn't have the Luka syndrome. He didn't like defense.
Mm-hmm. Nope. He didn't.
But he played decent defense with the Knicks, I think. I mean, otherwise.
He was average. He wasn't like special, but he wasn't terrible.
I mean, no. There's many players who play no defense at all in the NBA.
Luka Doncic is right at the top of the list.
There you go.
But I think about Luka, before he lost 15 pounds. Luka's lost 15 pounds.
Really?
Yep.
Before he disappear, what's going on with the Vikings and their quarterback? What are you hearing?
I have not heard a lot. I think they're probably going to have J.J. McCarthy.
I think the whole NFC North is going to be interesting.
Oh, it's definitely going to be interesting.
Detroit's got that division, in my opinion, hands down.
I'm trying to remember here. I think they might have. Oh, if memory serves me correct. I think they did trade for the quarterback from Seattle.
Are you talking about Sam Howell? Yeah, they did. It was in the draft. I think they traded a draft pick and something else for Sam Howell for a backup.
Since
they lost Daniel Jones in free agency, they had to go get a veteran backup, and Sam Howell's the guy.
Yeah.
You know, the way I see it, Troy, assuming that the new Bears coach can really help Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy better really have a good first year. I think the Vikings have a shot at finishing last in that division.
I mean, anybody in that division could finish last. Because every year it seems like that division switches hands almost. So if you're not careful, you may have, like, Detroit. Last year they won the division. They could finish third or fourth this year.
And if you look at who the Vikings are going to play.
Yep.
You know, this could be a challenging year for them.
And I think they got two international games this year too. I think they got the Dublin, Ireland game in week 4 against the Steelers, I think. And then they go to London, I think, later in the year. So I think the Vikings are going to be very interesting to see.
Well, thank you, Troy. We're going to see if anybody else is waiting in the wings. Thanks, as always, for your contributions.
Yep, you got it.
All right. Brad, who do we have there?
Right now, we have no hands.
Okay, just let us know when that changes.
I will let you know.
Any thoughts on what we've seen in NBA free agency so far?
I thought
it started this morning at like 9 a.m., but I know there were some leaks with LeBron picking up his fifth-year option, Mitchell staying in Miami. A couple of other options. I think one to Cleveland and one to trade happened with Chicago and somebody else.
I'm keeping my ears open for a center for the Celtics.
I'm kind of wondering to see what the Seas are going to do, what Golden State might do, and what the Grizzlies might do. I think the Grizzlies are blowing it up. Yeah, I think so too.
They should trade, what's his name, the troublemaker.
Moran.
Yeah.
Here's the question.
They need to unload themselves.
Like, okay, Mitch, to where and who's going to want to take on?
That's a good point. His value might be very low, right?
Exactly.
It may be, but.
I know who wants him.
Who?
The New York Knicks.
God, no. The Knicks already have a point guard.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, Peter was kidding.
Look, the Knicks are so bad right now. The Knicks don't even have a head coach yet.
I know who they take him.
Who?
Because they take everybody. Washington.
Let me put it this way. If the Wizards got him, look how quickly they would actually blow it and get another 10-win season so they could be in the top 5 of the draft. Oh. The Wizards ain't been good since the '90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took Gilbert Arenas and look what happened to him. With the nice little whoop-de-doo that they had with Javaris Crittenden, for crying out loud. Go figure.
You know, the sad thing is what's happening. What
did you say about the Dodgers? Gave them yes. First comment. The Dodgers, yes. Of course, probably have the best record in baseball, and they, you know, are close to it. The problem yeah. The Dodgers are going to have is in the playoffs, where pitching is more important,
mm-hmm.
Hold up. And that's well, what they fall down to when they have better pitching.
What they're saying, and the reason that Dave Roberts and Dodger management is driving us fans crazy, is basically what he's saying, what they're saying is, we don't care what the Dodgers do between now and August, because we know, and they're now 7 games up on the Pods, we want them ready and able to pitch in August, September, and October. So the fact that we're 53-32
and tied,
and tied with Detroit for the
best record,
yeah.
By the way.
But it's we're doing it. We're using a bullpen. We're using an opener. Pardon me for cursing on the air.
Oh please!
But they're using an opener every 5th game, and they're still have the best tied for the best record. But what Roberts and Friedman are saying, we don't care as long as 2 or 3 of these guys come back by August or September for the stretch run and for October.
I don't think that's totally bad strategy. I mean, that, you know, I mean, I understand that's not the way it's supposed to be played. I get all that. You're not supposed to say those things openly. But the fact of the matter is, it's a long season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about what goes on in the first half of the season anyway.
As long as they sustain it.
And here's the thing. When we get to the July 31st trade deadline.
You play toward the end of the year, that's most important. And are your pitchers ready for the playoffs?
Exactly. But
they're expecting that 2 of the 3, I'm not thinking Sasaki will be back, but I think their expectation is that Snell and Glasnow will be back, and put them together with Yamamoto and Kershaw, and Emmett Sheehan is coming up. Sheehan is pitching really well. He had one very good game for us like 10 days ago. The Dodgers are not too concerned. They think they're going to have much better pitching for the playoffs.
You might have Sandy Alcantara too.
Well,
here's the thing. You know, there's a lot of teams that are looking for a lot of arms to either fill starting rotation, back end of the rotation, or middle relief or long relief or the back end of the bullpen. But as you and I talked about in text, Don, that, you know, the supply is going to outweigh the demand, because there's not going to be a lot of pitchers and a lot of arms that when they make the trade that are going to fill that need, because unfortunately, They're not going to get what they need unless they, you know, give up a haul for 1 or 2 guys.
Don, actually, what about all the injuries? I would say the demand outweighs the supply.
No, I would too. Exactly. Actually, yeah. I was going to say, if Troy were still on the call, I'd say, hey, Troy, which Minnesota starting pitching are they?
I'm thinking it's going to be Joe Ryan. I don't know why. I just have that feeling in my gut that it's going to probably.
In fact, I would take Alcantara also. Thanks for that heads up. Maybe the Marlins will shop it further.
Exactly. Maybe.
Were you asking something, Mitch?
Yes.
He was asking you about who are the Twins.
No, I'm saying who are the Twins going to trade when they're out of the playoffs at the end of July to get 3 or 4 prospects?
I was thinking Joe Ryan for you guys, but I could be wrong. That's who I'm thinking.
I guess if it was me, I don't know who you have played first base.
We have one minute. Guys.
After you trade him, but I would probably trade Ty France.
Really?
Yeah, well, he's a good hitter.
France?
Wow. He's a journeyman.
I'll take
him.
We need a first baseman, even though Breslow don't know it. Or he thinks he don't know it, or he seems like he don't.
He's acting like the Nico Harris of Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we're going to get 4 prospects. In fact, I don't know if most teams are going to be training 4 prospects anymore. I haven't seen.
I would probably say, what, 3 possibly? Maybe 2?
I think more likely what you're going to see is maybe one or two prospects, maybe two other players that are, major league ready, but maybe not like top of the line.
Dodgers
will play for, trade four prospects for him.
Mitch, don't the Dodgers have a minute?
Yes. Thank you, Brett.
Don't the Dodgers trade for every bleeping buddy nowadays, it seems like?
Yeah, they do. And-